Coming up on today's show, we are back after a holiday break. We will have a trip report from Adam. And of course, over the couple of weeks, there's been a few news stories that might be worthy of bringing up. That's today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 387. Can you believe we actually have that many episodes that we made it this far?
I can.
I am your host this week. In case you couldn't tell, my name is John, and I am joined, as always, by my esteemed co-host. First up, we have Adam.
Boo. What's up, everybody?
We also have this week, Jason.
Hello.
It's Jason.
Happy
so, Adam just got back, so that means there has to be another trip planned somewhere, right?
There is. My birthday is in January, and my birthday is on MLK weekend, and I am going on MLK weekend. So that'll be upcoming. I will be staying at the Boardwalk Villas for that weekend. So if anybody's around that listens, reach out. Say hi. Probably spending some good time at Epcot and Hollywood Studios, considering I will be at the Boardwalk.
Very high probability.
Very high probability. And I'm excited. I've got my birthday dinner already booked. I was surprised it was available when I booked right before Adam got back. I have a Topolino's terrace dinner booked, which I have only ever done breakfast. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Not only was it good because you got a dinner, you got a good time slot too.
It's like a 7 o'clock dinner, which is good.
Yeah. Hard to get sometimes.
I mean, I guess I should look and see when Harmonious is that night. I may almost be end of dinner seeing Harmonious off that balcony.
Yeah. Sounds good. Shall we talk about a couple of things
that's been going on? It's been a while. There's a lot that I think that we got to hit on. I mean, we can go pretty far back, considering it's been pre-Christmas before we chatted last.
This is true.
Railroad is open.
That's part of your trip.
Yeah, that was part of your trip. That's right. It opened for the...
I think the 23rd or something. When did it open?
Well, it was basically for the Christmas season, pretty much.
Right.
Like, as busy as it was, obviously, with the reservation systems, there's no such thing as a true sellout, right, I guess, anymore. Like, they didn't have to turn anybody away that wasn't already going to be turned away because they didn't have a reservation. But they did manage to help probably keep the streets a little clearer by having the railroad open during that time. It probably helped with that problem, don't you think?
Yeah, a lot of people were riding it.
Yeah. But I mean, it's probably a good move because it has a capacity of what, like, I don't know, something like 3,000 or something. It's like,
yeah, on all three trains are running, you can get a lot of folks on there.
Yeah. It could have been jam-packed streets at Magic Kingdom during that time period.
I did observe one particular station was busier than the others.
Which ones?
Main Street was usually fairly busy, but I caught it one time, walked right on. But the Storybook Circus one was the busiest I'd seen.
Really?
Why? I mean, nobody ever goes over there.
People want to see the Tron section. They just want to get on it for that.
They just want to get a good look. Okay. Well, they could have done that. Well, anyway.
That was the main reason that I figured.
I thought they were already over riding Barnstormer.
Right.
Going to say, they wanted to get a good look at Tron, but they didn't want to do the full circle tour, so they just wanted to go from there to the Main Street station. Right. I guess. I don't know.
Interesting. Did you notice much changed? I know they did the overall, the voiceover was different, but did you notice a major change?
There was a few things that were different, yeah. A few things were different, but not a whole lot.
I mean, for instance, there's Tron. I mean, that was different.
Yeah. I mean, obviously. But the Frontierland area was a little different.
With the train reopening, correct me if I'm wrong, but Collie's about to go down for its winter maintenance. Splash is about to close, for good. Mm-hmm. But technically, the 2 p.m. park hopper makes it impossible. But this is the first time since, 2017 almost? That a full Parkeology would be theoretically possible because there is literally no existing attraction that they count that is closed for refurbishment.
Right. Hmm. If you have a small window. You have a small window until Collie closes, is that what you said?
Collie's refurb.
So I guess Splash wouldn't really count, though, would it? Because it would be non-existent for a while, because Splash is going away. This is going to be a new attraction. Yeah.
So with Kali going down for refurb for its, you know, its winter. So when, but like, this is the first time it's been technically possible, although not really because of the hours.
Yeah.
Since the railroad went down
5 years ago.
There's going to be a few other things going down too, though, right? I mean, 4 years ago.
Kali goes down, and you know, Splash usually went down at this time anyways.
Rock and Roller Coaster is going to have an extensive refurb February. Yes. That was another story that came out.
Yes, and it was rumored that it has to do with the allegations against Steven Tyler as to them wanting to make a change. So yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. It could be.
Right. Yeah. But I wonder, it had been going down a lot. So I do wonder if it's just maintenance. But
that crossed my mind, of course, because it just really needed it.
Yeah, apparently. It did need maintenance. But
it's like hardly ever down. It's like Everest. I mean, it's like for refurb. Obviously, it's been down a pretty good bit lately. But
if Chapek was still CEO, I would say they're going to make this Incredicoaster East Coast version.
That would be stupid. I mean, I get that it's probably going to be changed at some point.
Yeah. Most likely.
Let's just say that there's been more than one potentially, I don't know if I want to use the word frivolous or not, but lawsuits of that were trying to meet that deadline. So that's all I'm going to say about that. So this might very well be under that, but just the nature of the allegation is probably enough to have them want it to at least cool for a little while, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If nothing else.
I don't know. I mean, but we've talked about this for years, though. It's ripe for being changed. So I wouldn't be surprised. It will happen eventually.
Yeah. If it changes, okay. As long as they don't do something incredibly stupid. No pun intended when you said incredible.
Right.
I kind of like the music with the ride the way it is, personally. I just think it fits. I mean, it's been going on, though, for 23 years, almost going to be, 24 years this year.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that right? So,
yeah.
If it makes it to July.
We'll see. Did they give a reopening date? I just saw it said extensive refurb.
I don't think so.
I thought they said it wouldn't be super long, though.
No, probably not long enough to do too much. But really, I mean, you got to think about it. With the coaster itself, you could have potentially been working on a replacement music-wise if you wanted to. And then that would be the only thing you wouldn't need to change a whole lot. But except, well, I take that back. You know, you have the whole pre-show and everything. So, no, it's not likely they're changing much. It's probably just maintenance.
Yeah.
Everybody likes to go that route anytime there's an extensive one, just like we thought there was a glimmer of hope that the Yeti would be fixed. And, of course, it wasn't. But
yeah. I think that went with Joe Rohde when he left.
They're not even going to spend the money on it right now, that's for sure. No. They're going to have trouble spending money on just to keep things functioning the way it's looking.
Cut the strobe light.
Yeah. So I have a story to contribute to the roster if we want one.
Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
Toss it in.
There was a lot of controversy on Old Diz Twitter about this one, so I thought we should talk about it.
On Old Diz
Did
Twitter.
You see all of the memes and the pictures of the new carousel coffee at Boardwalk Inn?
Oh, right, yeah.
And how everybody's freaking out about how it's, quote, generic and bland. Yeah. Like, literally, I've never seen people lose it so much over a freaking coffee shop.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're going to have to go there.
Yeah, I'm going to go there. And
go check it out.
I didn't tweet about it, but I wanted to give a bit of a take on it is, I get it that people want really themed spaces. That's why we go to Disney, but
it's not everything has to be super themed.
Yeah, it's a coffee shop.
Well, I think people it was what it replaced.
If it is themed, they complain if it's not themed. I don't know.
But it replaced a highly themed area.
But I think it looks nice. I mean, replaced I don't know. What? Maybe I'm probably in the minority of the Disney community because I do like all the themed areas. But a lot of people hate on the hotels that I like. People think that Destino is too lightly themed in some cases. I love Destino. People think that Riviera is too lightly themed. I think it's wonderful.
It's themed to the Riviera. That's what it's supposed to be. What do they want it to be themed to?
They think it looks, a lot of people think it's like a Las Vegas style hotel where the Disney touches are so subtle that it's hard to tell it's a Disney resort and not just another Vegas hotel.
I don't know.
I think they're wonderful resorts. I like the clean looking hotels, and I'm not a big fan of Port Orleans Riverside at all. I'm not a fan of, like, now that they've put Incredibles all over the Contemporary, I'm kind of turned off from Contemporary main building.
I'm not really a fan of Riverside just because, I mean, it's not the theming. I mean, I actually think the theming kind of fits, so they did a decent job with that part. I don't care for the fact that it's spread out as bad as it is. It's part of it. You know, it's a pretty long walk, but, and it's not the best options, I guess, for, I don't know. I can't explain it for other things. The rooms themselves are not that impressive.
I think if I'm ever going to stay back in Port Orleans, it has to be French Quarter. I did Riverside once and it was not what I liked.
Yeah, French Quarter, just because I got to do that to complete the mod circle. That's the only one I like.
Right.
So.
But what do y'all think about this coffee shop? Because, I mean, there was a lot of people freaking out.
I haven't given it much thought, to be honest.
I'm on the Diz Twitter side. Yeah.
You don't like the idea? I think
it looks horrible for boardwalkish. It doesn't fit.
Okay.
That's me.
I don't consider this important enough, to be honest, to, I mean, if I'm there and I try it, then I'll give an opinion on it. But
because if you go look at the, not just the coffee shop area, but there's like a seating area and it's just like a blank wall with like chairs in there. It looks so bad.
If I'm going to complain about anything coffee related at Disney, it's going to be the fact that they put Starbucks freaking everywhere.
I don't drink Joffrey's. Starbucks at Disney. I drink Joffrey's only, man.
I do too, but that's what I'm saying. Having Starbucks everywhere, I just...
But wait, where do you see all the Starbucks? Like, there's a Starbucks on Main Street.
Hollywood Studios has one.
It took over the Main Street bakery, basically.
Epcot.
And Hollywood Studios has one.
There's one in everything.
Epcot has one. But I feel like there's more Joffrey's than Starbucks. There's a Joffrey's stand in every park.
You can find Joffrey's, but Joffrey's does not have the biggest like section, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, but...
they have
Joffrey's is usually a stand.
The pro tip is not to stop in Main Street. It's to walk over to Tomorrowland and hit up the Joffrey's booth. That's where you're supposed to
go. Joffrey's gets a stand everywhere they are.
That's the thing.
Starbucks is like it gets should be, a store.
It should be the main.
But they usually get multiple stands.
Yeah.
Joffrey's should be the main one. But I guess Starbucks must be paying a lot of money to have a main location.
That's what it is. It's about money.
Yeah.
But my thing is, the thing that I hated the most about it is the fact that it just like took over Main Street Bakery, and it's like Starbucks threw up in it.
Yeah,
basically, like we didn't need their pastries. They had it was good just the way it was.
Yeah,
that's the way it was. I hate that.
We liked it. Yeah, but if you go to a restaurant, they serve the Joffrey's coffee, so it's like everything but those Starbucks. It's like whatever. Joffrey's is better.
But I agree. I prefer the Joffrey's between the two.
It is.
The rooms have Joffrey's. Everywhere else is Joffrey's. I mean, I know where the Joffrey's... I know, like, in Epcot, I know where all the Joffrey's are. There's the one...
I bet you do.
Right when you walk in.
Close to Mexico. That's the one.
Yeah. There's the one also right near Guardians. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew about that one. They've got a presence, but like I said, they're everywhere you find it, it's just always a much smaller... like a stand or something like that. You know what I mean? It's not like nobody doesn't know that there's Joffrey's there, yes, but...
And of course I go to Joffrey's because you get an AP discount at Joffrey's.
There you go. Why do they bother having two deals with coffee companies anyway? I don't know.
Boo.
Obviously, they have a pretty good deal with Joffrey's because that's what they market.
Yeah. I don't mind Starbucks when I'm at home, but I can get that anywhere. Joffrey's, it's just good and it reminds me of Disney, so...
There you go.
That's why.
I'm at home, I don't drink Twinings tea really, but when I'm at Disney, I want Twinings because
it's what they have.
That's what they got.
By the way, that winter spice is really good. The winter spice tea. We had to get more of it at UK Pavilion. Anyway,
That's part of your trip.
It is, but it's a very minor footnote.
Well, like I say, we've already done parts of your trip anyway. Somewhat.
Have we?
Well, I mean, we talked about the railroad.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't talk about it. Like, my experience on it. But
all right. So, The details have been revealed for up to a $750 Disney dining promo card offer at Walt Disney World. Mm. So in lieu of bringing back the dining plan, they're obviously not jumping on board with doing that just yet.
Yeah.
Guests will be eligible for a complimentary Disney dining promo card with select vacation packages. And it says the card will be available for arrivals between June 25th and September 14th of 2023. Interesting, they're using it as a summer. They're having trouble booking summer all the time now, aren't they? It seems like. Summer is the one that they try to get.
The weather's better this time of year. And more people are coming for the holidays and the holiday parties and all that stuff. So, yeah, of course. It rains every day in the summer. It's hot as all get out.
You haven't gotten to this yet, but I think it's interesting that there's two different dates that they're offering it, and they're offering different per night values of the card depending on when you book.
Mm. Right. I was going to mention, too, that it's a digital card, just for those of you that didn't realize that.
So it's on the app, or?
It says you can do like Apple Pay, I think.
Yeah. Apple Pay, Google Pay, but not to a Magic Band, Magic Band Plus, or Magic Mobile.
Interesting.
So the rate is determined by your arrival, date and resort category. So June 25th through the 30th and July 11th through the 31st, those two periods, right? It's $35 per night for value, $75 per night for moderate and cabins, and $125 per night for deluxe resorts and Disney deluxe villas. Then we have July the 1st through the 10th, which is obviously a pretty busy time period because it's around the 4th. And then we have August the 1st through the 14th, which I don't quite understand what's so busy about that one. But or maybe they're just doing it because they're trying to get people to go then in that week. I don't know. $50 per night for value resorts, $100 per night for moderate resorts and cabins, and $150 per night for deluxe resorts and Disney deluxe villas.
And I think the thing to just reiterate, that's per room, not per package, per whatever, not per person.
Right. Right. Yeah, the values are per night, not per guest.
Unlike Genie Plus, where it's per person, this is one thing per night, yeah.
So you're staying at a value on the lower tier nights, and you get $35 a night for a value. You can spend that in a heartbeat. Even the $150 per night at the deluxe, I mean, that's not hard to do.
Yeah. Dining deluxe.
Yeah.
Right. So you're paying rack rate for a deluxe room, but you get a $150 dining card every night.
It's going to be a package. It's got to be a rack rate for room tickets. So you're paying full price.
Not worth it then.
So basically, though, when they're saying $150 per night, is that like you can't go over that in the one day?
No, that's what they're going to put on the card. So like if you stay one night, you get $150.
Right. You pay the difference.
With a max load of $750 per visit.
Right. Right. But they're only letting you load it to that amount per day, right? Basically.
No, you could spend all $750 in the first day.
Okay. Well, that's why I'm trying to figure out why they have it. It says it's determined by your arrival.
By your arrival date, if you arrive in those first days, you get the lower 25th through the 30th or 11th through 31st, you get the lower per night added on. The 1st through the 10th and the 1st through the 14th of August, that's July and August, you get the higher rates. But you can't get more than $750 on the card.
Gotcha.
It's not worth it. And just like the dining plan ultimately wasn't
worth it. I was about to say, they're using the dining plan method, really,
right.
For people that won't do the math.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
room discount for. Is always better.
Right. People that won't do the math, that's and who they're often, trying to get.
If you do the math, if you don't have an annual pass like, you know, the three of us do, usually it's better to take the room-only discount and buy your ticket separate in a lot of cases whenever they're running a decent deal.
Right. Yes, it is. And it's even advantageous in some cases to buy your tickets not from Disney.
Wow.
From a site like Undercover Tourist, depending on how many days you're staying. There's places like Sam's Club that look like a good deal, but after you add on like fees and stuff, it's not.
Yeah.
Like when they present it as a great deal, and then when you actually put it in the cart, you're like, what happened? Yeah. So, yeah.
But this will get a lot of attention, a lot of buzz, which is what they wanted, right?
Maybe it'll be positive buzz. We'll see. I mean, I'm not going to guarantee that it's going to be positive buzz. Obviously, Obviously, we didn't give it that much of a positive mark.
It's not going to give the same benefit that the dining package did, which is when you had the dining package, the whole idea is I can go to dinner and not. Yeah, I can go to dinner and not think about it because it's like, as long as I pick from this menu, it's already paid for. Now you actually still have a budget that you're working with.
I'm kind of surprised Disney wouldn't want to just bring the dining plan back because I find it hard to believe. I feel like most people probably...
They do not need to bring that dining plan back. I'm with Diz Twitter on this one.
Well, I know, but here's my thing. I'm surprised they didn't because I feel like most people probably overpaid for what they got almost every time.
But the food quality has gotten better because the restaurants are getting more money now, right? Like it destroyed the restaurants that were in the Disney Dining Plan, especially the table services, had to cheap out more and more because of the dining plan, because they weren't getting as much money. No, I was reading today, it's something like they only got 50 to 60% of the money they normally would for a dining plan customer as compared to a cash customer.
They probably tried to stub people on tipping too, didn't they? Because of that.
Probably helped with reservations somewhat, right? To a degree.
It does. It helps because, like, and I'm sure it helps them with margins too. Because, like, I remember going on the dining plan early on when I started going to Disney, and, like, you felt compelled to order the most expensive thing that they offered that would be covered almost, right?
Right. You felt like you wanted to get your money's worth, so you had to order the expensive stuff. You're not going to go there and order a salad.
I'm going to say, which now I have no doubt that they're making money, especially off if you're like an all you can eat or a prefix or whatever it is, and you bring a child.
Well, obviously they're making money on those all you can eat and prefix. Look at what they're charging for, like Mansoor Paul. Jesus.
Yeah.
Or
I was going to say they probably make a huge profit off the kids because the kids won't eat anything, but they're charging $40.
Let's ask Adam about that mac and cheese at Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, no.
It's like the kids are like a high profit margin when it comes to some of these restaurants.
I think that's going to be a meal that lives in infamy, that mac and cheese from Be Our Guest with Adam. He's going to bring that up. We're going to be like 80 years old. He's going to be like, remember that time?
Oh, yeah. I will let my son know that too. Yeah, I will not let him forget that. At his wedding, I'm going to make note of that.
He's going to...
Yeah,
I was about to say he's gonna tell it to his grandkids. He's gonna be saying that.
Yeah,
your dad. I'm gonna
his graduation, anything. I'm gonna mention it. Yeah, $39.
Great grandkids, even.
Yeah, that's why I don't do the pre-fees until my kids are like teenagers and they eat like a horse, which is probably not much longer.
You have one kid that snacks like a horse, but
Yeah.
It still, to me, though, just blows my mind. It's the same price for 3 to 10. I mean, that is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. I mean, there is no way a 3-year-old eats the same way a 10-year-old does. That makes no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
We've ranted on that before. Yeah. Sorry.
Rabble, rabble, rabble.
Yes, rabble, rabble.
What else?
Rabble, rabble.
Rubber.
What else we got?
The Hoop to Do musical review washboard magnet. Oh, I thought that was going to be pretty cool.
Are you needing me to pick you up like a basket full of these or something, John? What's going on?
I don't need a basket full. I just need one, I guess, if you're going to be in that area. Apparently, it's $14.99, so it won't set you back too much.
Well, with your discount, too, you get 20% off.
And a discount. And apparently, they're only available at Fort Wilderness. Where did they say they were
going to
be?
Not going to Fort Wilderness. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, better be somewhere else because he's not doing it.
Let's see. Yeah, over to Fort Wilderness Countdown to watch the iconic. Oh, never mind. It's not only available there. I'm sorry. They were talking about the show over there. I wonder where they're selling them, though. Looks like it could be anywhere.
A feature I miss from my Disney experience. Remember back in the day, you were looking for an item and you could use the app and it would tell you what stores carried it? That was an old feature that they got rid of. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. You used to do it on the app and it would be like, oh, these stores carry this item. And now you can't do that. It just takes you to shopdisney.com, which is the worst site for buying Disney merch, by the way.
Shop Disney is the worst site? What are you talking
about? It's awful. Because, for example, the Indiana Jones merch that I wanted is all gone now. So now I have to go to eBay to find it.
So hey, I told you that the one that I showed you wasn't Disney, and it was a pretty good looking grail.
Right. Yeah, there's lots of replicas out there. I wanted the official Disney one, though, even though it, a lot of people like say it's not great recreations of props or whatever. But
yeah, nothing special.
I just wanted the Disney version because it had the cool packaging or whatever. But anyway.
You just have this thing about giving Disney money.
Well, there's certain things I like, and the Indiana Jones prop kind of stuff is cool. I mean, I'm not going to invest hundreds of dollars in real, like, imitation props. I'm just, the cheap Disney knockoffs are fine for me.
All right.
But anyway.
Well, since we have a trip report to do, we need to kind of wrap this up. So I just want to go right quick to see if this is any different, because I don't really remember. They've released the full list of attractions and entertainment that will be available during the Disney After Hours at Hollywood Studios, which begins the day we're recording this once again. So we probably will have more.
Yeah, info I was anyway. Seeing some folks on Twitter doing it. I saw Blog Mickey's there right now.
There you go. Talking.
Of course.
So Alien Swirling Saucers, Runaway Railway. That's a hard one to say fast. Smuggler's Run, Rock and Roller Coaster, Slinky Dog, Star Tours, The Launch Bay. I don't know why. Rise of the Resistance, Toy Story Mania, and the Tower of Terror are all open. And Disney Movie Magic will be performed at 11:25 p.m. And Wonderful World of Animation will be performed at 11:45 p.m. How much do you think that they're going for these Disney After Hours now, if you just had to throw it out there? You may already know.
I looked at it. I think it's like $159 or something like that. $179?
Well, it says it starts at $129, depending
on the day. Basically another day ticket price.
Yeah, pretty much. And the event includes complimentary ice cream products, popcorn, and select beverages.
If it was chicken tenders, I'd be there.
When it says select beverages, I'm pretty sure alcohol is not involved.
No, there's no alcohol.
I'm an
after hours aficionado. I know these parties. I like them.
It's like, I'm pretty sure that Baseline is not involved.
Well,
or is it open? It doesn't say. Has Baseline been open in After Hours?
I don't think so.
Yeah, not likely.
I doubt it. It's usually popcorn stands and whatever.
So you had a 3-hour event, by the way, because it's going from 9:30 to 12:30. So.
There, yeah, I think the one at Magic Kingdom goes to 1 a.m. because I was looking at it. It's going to be on my trip in a little over a week. But instead of doing that one, I will be staying at a deluxe resort, and I'll be there on the night that they're doing the deluxe after hours at Epcot. So I'll do that instead.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there's tons of news that we could
I was gonna mention a couple of things.
Oh, go ahead.
Before we go. There was two things that I don't know if you saw, Adam. While you were there, the Contemporary was evacuated. And I don't think we ever found out why. It was like the whole building was evacuated.
What are the odds?
And also, just the other day, the whole Yacht and Beach Club were evacuated, or at least the Beach Club was, because there was a fire. So there's been two evacuations of resorts in the last couple weeks.
The fire was at Beaches and Cream.
Yep.
By the way.
Really? Well, it's there's plenty of grease in there, so.
Did someone put that fire out with their face?
I mean, what do you need fire to cook ice cream with? Anyways, the other thing is that Twitter has been ablaze with all of the dirtiness around Disney. They talked about how the Small World boats looked really dirty, Space Mountain's looking dirty, the monorail's looking dirty, and it looks like they've been cleaning it. So, yay?
Yeah.
They had to wait until everybody got out of there to clean it.
Well, it's good that they point this out.
There is one story that I am surprised that did not make your list, John.
I didn't really have a good list, so
this seems like one that usually makes your type of hosting. Former guest relations cast member attempts to sneak into Magic Kingdom utilidors.
Yeah.
Repeatedly rams security with stroller. Florida man was arrested after Florida he tried. Man.
Wow.
Apparently, the guy was supposedly a guest relations cast member and an active one, and went down the utilidors and tried to slam the security guards with a stroller. So, you know?
Yeah.
If I was a Disney cast member and I wanted to quit, it would be to take the monorail at full speed through the Contemporary. But, you know, that's just me.
Not only that, the guy, doesn't he kind of look like, what's his name, Skarsgård, you know, Bootstrap Bill? If you're just looking at him right there, obviously it's not him. He's not that disgruntled. But yeah, you're right. That does normally catch my radar, and I did see it. I just forgotten about it. So thanks for bringing.
Because you're always the one that's telling us the ride. The
people bringing weapons in.
What? Yeah. doing the LSD and jumping in the water. That's always going to be my favorite Disney news story, is the LSD jumping in the
Paris. I think that was Adam late. Making that one up, though. Or not making it up, but bringing it up. Bringing that one up.
That was Paris. That was in Paris.
Yeah.
Or the butter churner.
I'm sure there's...
That was a good one.
Yes, that was a good one.
Oh, right.
We've had plenty of stories of morons getting out on rides and attractions, that is.
Yeah, the land is the one lately where people are doing it a lot. Because you hear them on the loudspeaker a lot saying, you know, please sit down, please stay in your seat, please keep your arms and legs inside.
It's like it's a challenge or something. Yeah. Must be out there somewhere. Like somebody trying to get out and grab a fruit or a vegetable or something and then jump back in.
I've heard it a lot on Big Thunder now, too. We rode it, riding Big Thunder, and you hear someone come over a loudspeaker, like, keep your hands inside or whatever it says, you know, or put your phone away or something like that. They say.
I'm gonna say when you said they're saying it on Big Thunder, I couldn't help but think of Weird Al. You know, with the do you know which song I'm talking about?
I don't know. I just made a reference earlier and it got glossed over.
You did?
Yeah, the grease fire with my face.
Oh yeah. Well, I didn't go that route because you just said grease fire, because there's plenty of grease in there, like I said.
Oh, that's why I said that someone put it out with their face.
Ever anyway. I put that grease fire out with my face.
Yeah, a lot of attitude.
No, I was thinking about the complicated song.
He
stood up instead, locked off his head.
Yes.
Anyway. Anyway.
One other thing really quick was, did we talk about the email that Bob Iger sent everybody? Did we talk about
that? I
didn't
get it.
It was to D23 members, yeah.
Yeah, I don't ever recall seeing it. I looked, and I don't recall getting a letter from him, D23.
It was basically fan service, like, hey, we're going to be better, I guess. Thank you for sticking with us, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, do we read anything into that?
No.
Why did he only send it to D23 members and not like DVC, for example, or annual pass holders?
I have no idea.
Why only D23?
Maybe he figures D23 is the true core fan base.
The most loyal. Not the people who pay for an annual pass or...
Well, maybe that was the whole thing. Maybe they're saying that you can have an entry level there and not have to pay anything. So you didn't, you know what I mean? So you probably have a wider audience.
Maybe.
Overall. Even though apparently it didn't go out to everybody.
Yeah.
All I know is I haven't seen a whole lot so far
Well, I was going to say earlier, too, is this Iger's first thing of like this $750 dining thing? Is this him resurrecting the dining plan in a way? Or is this something that was already planned?
I find it hard to believe a gift card was planned in advance. That feels like pretty short-term planning, personally, with all it requires.
So you think Iger was behind this or approved this?
I feel like it. I feel like everything that's happening now has to be approved by him. I don't think they're going through with anything approved by Chapek now that it hasn't already. They're probably stopping anything that he was approving.
Yeah, this is new, so it does make me think Iger had something to do with it. And maybe not his idea, but he approved it.
Let's just be clear with this, okay? The moment someone else takes over, even if there are other plans in place, there's always an option. Now, it may be an option that it loses you money because you're already vested, but there's always an option. So, yeah, he's ultimately responsible. They're not in the best position overall at the moment. I mean, the stock jumped a tad bit, but it's been pretty low.
Good time to buy, though.
Maybe. I think that's the reason people are hesitant to buy it for it to raise up some is because they're waiting on seeing something worth buying. You know, they're waiting to see a move worth buying. So
we shall see.
I have no doubt that it'll eventually get better. Don't get me wrong. But that's what I'm saying right now. They're wanting to see what are you going to do? And so far, there's not been much given.
And this discount thing is not going to make any difference.
No.
I don't think it's big enough.
No.
Not big enough.
No, there are room discounts for spring and summer that they're coming out with. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, there's already some discounts, yeah.
Yeah. Big enough, good enough? Well, I don't know.
The spring one is weird, though, because it's Monday through Thursday check-in dates. So if you check in on a Friday, you don't get the discount. Before, like, March, maybe? I think. I can't remember. It's, like, more weird restrictions. Anyway, enough about all that. And we will be right back.
Calling all parents. Meet the Family Cash Card, Greenlight's newest credit card for parents. You can earn up to 3% cash back on every dollar spent. No limits, no categories, no hassle. No kidding. You can choose to auto-invest your cash back to pay for your kids' college, apply it to your balance, or send your cash back straight to your wallet. It's basically cash back your way every day. Get started today at greenlight.com.
And now back to the show.
So let's talk about you.
Adam.
Yes. You.
Yes, I went to Walt Disney World on Christmas Day. We woke up in the morning, opened presents, drove to Disney, made it just in time for the 3 o'clock parade.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How early did you get up?
We got up at like 5:30. I don't
remember. You're just like, I sent us here. All right, let's go.
Basically, that's kind of how it went. All right, let's go. Because the whole time they were like dragging out opening presents. And we're like, the longer you take to open presents, the longer it takes us to get to Disney.
And they sped up.
Yes, basically. But 3 o'clock parade, I booked the Genie. I bought Genie Plus, $123 a day.
A day.
That whole week for a family of four, tax included. So that sucked.
Of course it does.
Price went down, of course, now that the holiday rushes over.
I think
over,
today it was $25
only. Oh, today well, it was barely went down. Okay.
Yeah, it was $29 yesterday.
Oh, okay. So they're just now starting to taper off.
It's starting to cool off, but it's not. I'm telling you, that, none of it cools off as much as once before. So.
Yeah.
And yet, I don't know, go figure, they have record wait times still.
Wow.
Can't imagine how having a service in which people pay for, or even for free, this separate from the regular line, how it would make wait times go up. Just unbelievable.
Right. I am curious, though, what did they make more money during the holiday season at the $29 rate, like did versus percentage of people who bought it? You know what I mean?
I bet a ton of people still bought it because they felt obligated.
Well, I mean, yes, they did because they sold out at Disneyland for 3 days straight during the holidays at 20, whatever they're charging at Disneyland. They sold out of Genie Plus.
Right.
They felt like they needed to do it in order to have a decent time.
Which to me is kind of weird because, like, FastPass Plus, there was nothing to sell out. So it's like, did 100% of the guests buy it?
No.
Or did they limit it to 50% or 75% or whatever? We don't know.
I think it's pretty obvious that the way the FastPass Plus system worked was different. Even not just the cost part.
But there's so many rides at Disneyland. I guess they don't all have lightning lanes, though. But
like I made the argument not too long ago, I think there should be fewer lightning lanes at all the parks, personally.
Well, it's not, there's some that they clearly trick you, or the average guest, like, oh, Muppets or PhilharMagic. Like, really, if you grab one of those and you walk into the room, you're like, what is faster about what I just did?
Well, anyway. What was it? When some of the screenshots I sent, what was it like? What benefit is there? Like, I'm sure there's people that's in getting lightning lanes, obviously. But to have that enough people to clog the regular queue to the point where there is, what, like five attractions that was over 100 minutes at Hollywood Studios that one day?
Right.
I mean, who does that benefit? It does not make for a good guest experience, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
There's no way it does. The handful of people that bought Disney Genie Plus, maybe. And that's still a maybe,
right?
I think I saw today that the wait time for Avatar eclipsed. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 210 minutes. And someone posted, it is now possible to watch Avatar The Way of Water
while you're in line.
While waiting to ride Avatar.
There you go.
For 4 minutes. Yeah.
So somebody's going to turn it on when you get in line, and then right before you board, you can enjoy the ride experience.
The credits.
Yeah.
The credits will be rolling when you get on.
So speaking of Flight of Passage, we paid the individual to ride it. That was our Animal Kingdom day. Mm-hmm. And we were in line, like we got paired with people who waited 2 hours to ride it. And when it was over, I heard them talking, was it worth the 2 hour wait? And they were like, yeah, it was really good. I wish it was a little longer since we had to wait 2 hours, but it was still really cool.
There's never going to be a satisfactory
as far as that goes. Yeah, when you wait that long, it's just nothing's really ever worth
the would you, no I feel That's like if saying. You got off of Rise for your first ride after 2 hours, you would have said for sure that was worth the 2 hours.
Yeah, you would have been like, yes, but I probably would have said, but I wouldn't wait 2 hours again for it.
See, that's, but yeah, I mean, so is it truly worth it? That's just it.
Try to remember how you felt after that first Rise. Like, yeah, we've ridden it enough now. But the first Rise was so good.
It was truly special. It really was. But then, of course, you know, the more you do something. Like, for me, Flight of Passage starting to look less clear. Like, it looks a little blurry to me. Like, they need to redo the film.
They really do need to put it under a reefer.
Maybe I'm just old.
No, they do. I've read other people say it. The projectors are not perfectly aligned for the 3D effects. They need to do like a like a month long refurb to fix that thing, because they can't afford to take it down because of the ILLs. They're making too much money off of it. They need to take it down, realign the projectors, clean it up a little bit.
How long has it been?
2017. It opened in 2017.
That's right. It was 17. Down
for refurb at all, ever.
Yeah, but it's had a consistent like. What really long wait time since for it's going on 6 years.
You know this mean? Past summer it wasn't too bad, but I guess now that the new movie's out, it's starting to get, you know, more people are wanting to experience it again.
Well, like, take an attraction, say for instance, like Frozen. Obviously, it's come down from where it was, but it still has a pretty good wait most of the time.
Well, it's because it's low capacity too.
Test Track still got a great wait time.
Low capacity as well.
I was going to say low capacity and the fact that it's never works has something to do with it.
And and the thing about Flight of Passage is it is a pretty high capacity ride. I mean,
this is true. Yeah. Right. It has the capability.
Right. Back to Christmas Day, though.
Oh, sorry.
I got a little sidetracked. So I brought up Genie Plus because I grabbed the Lightning Lane for the parade. They had one for the Christmas parade.
Yeah.
And it was actually decent. Like, you were right in front of the hub, right in front of the castle center. It's not like the best parade viewing because it kind of goes in front of you. It would be better if you were like
back a little bit,
like where the Christmas tree is on Main Street. Maybe that'd probably be like, so you could see it coming straight down at you. But it kind of, you kind of look over and see it coming from Frontierland and you, or Liberty Square, and you kind of see it go by you. It's not bad.
Let's be honest. They didn't sell that because of the view. They sold that because this is the space where you can fit the most lightning lanes.
Right. And so we got there like 5 minutes after the, you know, you could get in that area and had to scan bands, whatever, to let you in that area. And it was already full, like the rope. Like, so we were maybe two people, you know, one person back. Mm-hmm. And of course there were people still trying to like push in like right before the parade started, so we just had to like create a human wall to keep people from trying to jump in front of our kids to see the parade, like adults, old people, like trying to cut in like
I hate parades,
and it's just like, why? It's like that old lady, remember last year, Jason, at the New Year's Eve fireworks, who asked me after you well, you were there for like 2 hours, but we were there at least an hour before, and this old lady, like right when it starts, she was like, "Do you mind if I just scoot right in front of you?" I'm like, "No, I've been here for an hour." No, but you know,
I think I was actually, so we walked in
crazy.
So that was at midnight. I think we walked in at like 8:30. You stayed, 9, and I stood there for three
hours, whatever it was. Yeah, crazy. And we joined you like an hour before or whatever. And then literally the first firework goes off and she's like, "Hey, can I sit in front of you?" No. No. Like, I've been here for an hour. Like, no. Anyway. But yeah, it's the same thing. People just try to like weave their way in. And I'm like, no, you can't. We were here way before. Anyway.
Yeah.
But got a lot of cool, you know, up close pictures of the parade. So that was fun. And then as soon as the parade was over, you know, when we walked in, we noticed the line for the railroad was pretty busy at the main street. So I was like, well, let's check out Frontierland and see. And it wasn't that busy at all. Like, Frontierland seems to be the best station because a lot of people don't just, maybe it's a little less known where it is right now since it's been so long. But consistently.
Well, who gets off of Big Thunder is like, ooh, let's take the train over to Barnstormer. Right.
Yeah. That probably makes sense. But I actually thought, like, okay, no one's going to be getting off the train, right? Because everyone wants to see the Tron section. But tons of people got off the train at Frontierland. It was a full train when it got there, but yet a lot of people got off. And so we made it. I think we had to wait on one train because we were literally the next people in line. And we could have gotten on, but they're like, hey, let's, since you have a stroller, wait for the next train. You'll have a whole row or whatever.
See, that's the opposite of what I was, you know, the people that I was talking about earlier that got on at the Storybook Circus train.
Yeah.
Just so they could see Tron. Well, these were the people that they got on at Main Street, and they're like, oh, this is the next stop. We'll get off now.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what it seems like. It's like people just wanted to get on and ride it.
Yeah.
They just, like,
tons people that didn't know any better it. Probably, too, yeah. During that time of year.
And then when we got
thought, to oh, the... is that all it does?
Right.
Or this a mode of transportation. Go for
it. Right. They think it stops. Well, we have to get off.
Yeah.
Storybook Circus. I mean, a lot of people got off there, too. We, of course, rode it through Tron. And the Tron part is neat. It kind of interrupts the spiel, and it has like the Tron zone little thing. And you get to, there's a window where you can see the launch, but of course, nothing was launching as when we rode by. But it was cool. You could see it. You could smell fresh paint too as we were going by there. So they had just painted something.
So you got a buzz when you went through there.
Basically. But love the railroad, man. It was like, took this for granted for so many years in the past that, you know, it was nice to have it back.
Yeah.
And as, you know, our very last day, we ended up staying an extra day. I wanted to just go back and ride the train one more time. So we did. Rode it all the way around one last time.
Did your kids like the train as much as
you did? They did, yeah. It was cool. They loved seeing it. And then, you know, I think they got a little bored because it takes a long time to load and unload at the different stations. But once you're moving, they really enjoyed it. So it was fun. And the Frontierland section, they've spruced up everything. Everything looks better than it did. You know, the only section that's kind of bland is going from Main Street to Frontierland. There's not much to see until you get to Splash Mountain. That's about it. Because you basically go through Pirates and you can't really see anything. All the backstage area you can't really see, so not much to see. It's nowhere near as good as Disneyland's train, obviously, but it's still cool, still fun. Anyway,
I wish they would add some of those seats like they have at the Disneyland train where it's facing inward.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about,
right?
That would be kind of neat,
right? But they don't really. I think the one in Animal Kingdom does, right? That has inward seats facing.
Talking about the Wildlife Express.
Wildlife Express, yeah. Anyway, the other thing to mention, that first night, Diamond Horseshoe, we ate dinner. That was our Christmas dinner. I had a Liberty Tree, but I wanted to move it to Diamond Horseshoe because I hadn't been in there in so long. So I finally was able to switch it to that. It took forever to get in there because it was just very cold. It was like 38 degrees that night in Orlando. And so they were trying to tell us. Yeah. The host person was telling us people, since it's warm in there, are kind of like squatting. Like, we're trying to nicely get them to leave, but our policy is we don't tell anybody they have to leave. So they have to leave on their own. And so it took like 30 minutes for us to pass our reservation to sit down. But
oh, wow.
But once we did, it was very nice. The food was good. I mean, it was basically the same as Liberty Tree, but yeah.
I thought they served barbecue in there now.
No, it was basically the Thanksgiving dinner type turkey, pork. The pot roast was really good.
Really?
So it was like, yeah, we ordered more of that.
Do they have any entertainment of any kind going on in there?
No, it was just the piano. It was just like the automatic, what do you call it, piano that plays itself.
Yeah.
The Westworld piano? Go. The one from Westworld?
Whatever it's called. There's a name for it, right? Anyway.
Yeah.
But
what
it was
can
cool.
I think of it?
The decor in there was really cool. So it was good. And speaking of cold, yes, it was very cold Christmas Day. Of course, it was cold everywhere in the country, I think, that Christmas Day. And the day after, we were wearing coats and scarves and gloves and everything because it was so cold. I was One other time, it was in the 30s. I was at Magic Kingdom back in March of like 2018. It was that cold one night, but
I don't know if it's because of the moisture that's typically in the air, but no matter what the temperature is, it always feels colder there whenever it's cooler. Well, I'm talking about in Disney World, period.
Yeah.
Like that day that I went to the Animal Kingdom and it was like in the 50s, it felt like the 40s. I mean, yeah. It was ridiculously cold.
Yeah. It didn't really warm up until the third day a lot. Like the second day was still very chilly. Like middle of the day was okay. It was like, I think it got up to like 55 and then it quickly dropped back down.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cold.
I'm going to say 55 sounded great compared to what was going on here.
That's true. So I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying it was cold. It was actually nice to have coats though. Like my winter coat has like all these other pockets inside. So I was like, oh, my phone charger can go in here. I can put all this here and I don't have to like carry it around in a backpack.
So you're going to wear a winter coat all the time.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 95 degrees.
You're going to pass out.
That would have been nice. But have you guys been there when it's that cold? Like, what's the coldest you remember?
I've worn a jacket, obviously, but never heavy jacket.
I can say the coldest it's ever been when I was there was 17. Not 17 degrees, but 2017.
I was like, holy fuck.
It was 2017. What was funny is,
what time of year?
We had just gotten off the cruise, right? We did the cruise with Maddie when she was a baby. And we were staying at Beach Club. And that day, it was nice. We were in the pool. The next day, the pool was closed.
Because it was too cold, yeah.
Because it was like 40-something. That's what I was telling you. It always feels about like 10 degrees lower. So, but it was so windy, I think, was part of it.
Right.
But
yeah.
I think they kept them open this time.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
because I saw some videos of like the yacht club lifeguards walking around an empty pool because nobody.
I remember we were riding the Skyliner, and there was one person in the pool at Caribbean Beach, and I was like, "Wow, that guy is brave!" Because it was
probably remember
like
the polar bear
50
club.
Degrees. Yeah, I guess there was one guy in the pool. Yeah, I remember seeing that. Anyway,
he was like, "Oh, this is warm."
The second day, Bob Genie Plus again, Hollywood Studios, we did the morning Slinky Dog with Lightning Lane. I think I didn't do Smuggler's Run this time because the kids didn't want to.
Maybe they've done it enough.
I guess. We did all the Toy Story stuff and Star Tours. I don't even think I walked into Galaxy's Edge that day, but we hung out at Baseline. That was fun. We sat indoors because it was cold. We actually got in and sat inside for a while. So we didn't do Brown Derby because it was so cold. That night, though, we went to Springs and we ended up at Jacques Lindsay's Holiday Bar.
As it is this time of year. I guess it's probably going back to Hangar soon.
Yes, it probably is now. But as Jason knows, I had a thing for pop-up bars this year for Christmas-themed. I went crazy for those, and I didn't know that they did a holiday pop-up until we got there, and I was just scanning through the app looking at, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I saw that, and I was like, I've been wanting to go anyway, because I know, John, you've been there, and you had talked a lot about how you liked it and the detail work and everything there. And so,
kind of small, like, but overall.
Yeah.
But
so it just happened to work out.
The inside is small. They have an outside part, too.
Yeah.
I would imagine with it being cooler that night, there's probably a lot of people on the inside.
Yes. And we got lucky because we walked in the door. I didn't know, you know, is it like, you walk in, if there's a seat, you find it, like, whatever's available, you take and you get it. There was a group of four that just happened to be getting up at the exact moment we walked in. So we're like, okay, we'll take their table. And there was a table for two right next to ours. And a group of five at one point showed up and tried to sit there.
Oh, wow.
And so I was shoulder to shoulder with somebody. And then there was three other people and then two. I'm like, this is not going to work. So they finally got it and left because they told them we can't see this big group here. But the pop-up bar was awesome. They had really cool, you know.
Did they have different themed? Yeah, they had them different themed.
Yeah.
Did they have the regular ones too, or did they just do the holiday ones?
Because I think I ordered a beer flight or something too, because it looked interesting. Mm-hmm. They had the signature was like hot chocolate flight, mm-hmm. like spiked hot chocolate flight, but I didn't get it because I wasn't going to drink that much hot chocolate. I would have had to share it. My wife didn't want it, so
she got something else. Type places to me, though. It's interesting to just look around and see the stuff that you recognize and what it would be for Indiana Jones related.
Yeah. Yeah, we were sitting next to this like weird ice machine when you walk in the door. It was like this contraption that just went off every 10 minutes or whatever, making ice cubes. I don't think it really did, but it was a cool little thing. And then, yeah, the detail is cool in there.
Did you happen to notice the voodoo dolls, I guess it was?
I saw some, yeah, I saw them at the top. Yeah, I saw them. And then there's a whole lot of stuff in there. I love the map on the wall, too, behind the bar. It looks really cool. So,
of course, they have a portrait of Reggie. I mean, Jacques. Jacques.
In his New York, right, the snake is Reggie.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was in his New York Yankees hat and everything, yeah.
I want to say cool. One of the outdoor seating things is made into almost like a boat, and it has Reggie on the back of it. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I didn't. No, we didn't go outside because it was dark at that point, yeah. And it was cold. So gotcha. We sat inside. The food was pretty good there, too, the food they had. So we kind of made that our meal.
If I'm not mistaken, among the props, there's like a cage that says Reggie, too. Among the props are in the attic, I guess you'll say, in the ceiling somewhere. Anyway.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, I loved it. I loved that they did that. We definitely go back. And we were talking about trying to do 10 lounges in a day. I think we should add Jacques Lindsay's to this list.
As the one.
Right. And apparently we forgot to put Bar Riva in our last show. So we got to go back and fit Bar Riva in.
I don't know how we missed that.
We can replace Abracadabar because we don't need Abracadabar compared to
those. Yeah. I thought Jacques Lindsay's was really good. So I would definitely go back. Disney Springs was chaos that night, and that was the day after Christmas, I think. Right? Hmm. Yeah. It was.
Maybe people were thinking there would be deals.
Probably. I don't think there was. But, you know, Lime Garage was full, but I went in anyway because I'm like, someone's got to be leaving. And I was able to find a space relatively quickly, but it was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. So we did the shopping that we were going to do. We went to Jacques Lindsay's, and then we got out of there. Next day was Epcot. We barely made it before actual rope drop. Like, when I say barely made it, we got in front of Spaceship Earth as soon as they let the rope drop for the regular folks. And by the time we got to Connections, people were, like, running past us. So... And, of course, the resort guests had already clogged up Frozen Test Track. So I had gotten the Lightning Lane for Test Track. We walked over to Frozen, but it was full, so we did Cringrilla instead. We ended up riding Frozen, like, the next day with Lightning Lane because Frozen was nuts the whole week. Guardians was delayed that day. It didn't open until, like, I think 10:30, 11 a.m., something like that. But we happened to just be in the area when it opened, and so we walked right on. So we had the boarding group. I didn't do individual Lightning Lane for that.
Yep.
Guardians is so much fun.
But your first Fast Pass that day was Test Track, though.
Yeah. So we went and rode Test Track after we did Cringrilla. And then what did we do after that? Yeah, I think we did like Mission. I think I pulled a Lightning Lane for Mission Space just to stay in that area. Because I was waiting for Guardians to open. And then we're like, okay, well, let's just go do Grand Fiesta Tour. But then I got the alert that the boarding group had been called. Because we had a fairly early group. And so we made it over, walked right in, did that fairly quickly. Yeah, it was awesome as always. And yeah, when we got out of that pre-show, there was nobody in line. There was nobody. The trains were empty. And so, yeah, we walked right in. And then we tried to make it to rope at La Cava, but it was about 11:05 when we got over there. and the line was all the way to like Norway to get into Mexico just to get in. So we're like, no thanks. We'll come back later. Hope that the line dies down. And what did we do? I think we just did other stuff. I think we ended up going to Soren. I got a Soren. And that was probably the longest wait we had the whole trip, was Lightning Lane for Soren.
Because you know, Soren is slow to load. Lord.
Very slow load.
Nice work, pal, though, on that Lightning
Lane. Yeah, I did. That was nice work.
But the overall wait for Soren has actually gone down.
Yeah.
Well, the wait to get to the wait.
The wait to get to the wait.
If they actually told you the wait to the moment your chair lifts off, like the starting wait time is 30 minutes, even if you walk onto it, it's like,
yeah
I wonder where they consider it to be the start. Do they consider it to be the start of the attraction once you're in the last queue, I guess, whenever you're doing the pre-show video? I wonder if that's when they consider it starting.
I don't know. Soar into towers when I consider the
that's when you start. Consider it starting.
Yeah. Sort of tower, yeah. So, La Cava, we ended up going back. Barbas was off that day. So, we're just like, we ordered drinks at the walk-up. And, you know, I gotta mention this, because if you do the walk-up, you get the plastic cup, because you have to walk out with it. But it's like, you sit down, it feels like the drink is like twice the size of the to-go one. Because I took pictures of the old fashioned, the corn old fashioned, and it's like in this tiny cup. And then when you go back, you get this giant, if you're sitting down, I'm like, there's got to be more in this, right? It feels like there is for the same price. So I don't know. It makes me go, do I ever want to do walk up at La Cava all the time?
Yes. Whatever La Cava you can get, you get.
That's true.
Jason's saying any La Cava is better than no La Cava.
I guess, but there's certain drinks, though. I don't think the corn old fashioned's worth it at the walk up. You have to sit down to get that one, I think. It's better. Anyway, that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Before long, there's going to be an Adam Brown drink.
Hey, I want it to be.
Yeah.
You're going to get to put your initials at a table? Not likely.
Oh, yeah. Something else I wanted to mention. We went back to Magic Kingdom that night, and we did some of the Christmas overlay stuff. Because you can only get those during Christmas week, or if you buy the party.
Of course.
The Christmas parade, the Minnie Mouse, the Minnie's whatever fireworks, the Space Mountain, like, rave party Christmas music thing is actually pretty cool. So we got to do that. And then the Tomorrowland Speedways got like kind of techno music and then Christmas lights and different things. So we had to do that. So I did all the Christmas party stuff that you can only do, you know, during Christmas week.
For free.
And that was fun. Right.
For whatever. Price included.
Right. Nothing cost nothing. So it was fun. I made a point to do those. And it was cool. Jingle Cruise, of course. I had to make sure I got that in. We missed it last time.
Yeah.
So had to get Lightning Lane for that because it was busy.
When you mentioned the Space Mountain, remember, I think my comment was whenever I watched the video of it, I was like, it felt like what it would be like if a Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert were a ride. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was like the same song over and over again, but it was cool. Like, you got to see a lot more of the track.
For real?
That's the only one I remember ever hearing, and we did it twice.
I guess it's like the regular soundtrack. There's only one song there, too.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was fun. The kids, of course, loved it, and you can see a lot more of the track and inside of the attraction, so it was cool. But the music is like, and the lights kind of crazy, but it was fun. So we did the, you know, Animal Kingdom was crazy busy. I think by the time the weather warmed up, people were able to get there, and so the crowd showed up the 28th and 29th. It was twice as crowded as, like, Christmas Day was not bad at all at Magic Kingdom. Not busy compared to when I had been there Christmas week before in 2019. So Animal Kingdom was really busy, but we had the Lightning Lane for Flight of Passage. We did Navi. And then I couldn't get a safari to move up enough because we had to make it to La Cava.
No Nomad, but that's okay.
I know. I didn't do Nomad, but I had to get to La Cava. So that was
my Barbas thing. Needed you. Barbas needed you.
Yes. Barbas was off the previous day. The original plan was we'd go to La Cava the day before and then Nomad the Animal Kingdom day, but it didn't work out that way. So we ended up having to park hop to get to Barbas. And they let us in before the early park hop time because we were just sitting there. And so eventually, I think it was like 1:40, they were like, come on in if you're park hopping. And they were just like, come on in, we'll let you in now. So we got in a little bit before the early, you know, 1:47, yeah. Because that's what I was waiting for. But at 1:40, they were just like, if you're park hopping, come on in now. So they let us in 7 minutes earlier. We basically walked straight to La Cava and sat there, waited. But it was totally worth it because Barbas, Nikki, who's a hostess there, we found out they're on the same kind of team that La Cava's sort of in, almost not quite independent, but they're Disney, but they're not Disney. He works for a different company, but you know, they're basically Disney anyway. Long story, but they're the best crew of any bar or lounge, I would say. I can't think of another group that is better. So what you're
saying is the ones that were independent from Disney were better.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he said they're still cast members, but they work for this other company that owns La Cava.
Right, kind of like, I don't know, like technically you're a cast member if you work at Rainforest, but it's a Landry's restaurant.
Right, yeah, basically. No. So they work for Landry's and Disney, but yeah. After that, we walked up to the guest experience team and asked them to recognize them more than just the cast compliment on the app, because I don't think the cast compliment feature is good enough. I think you should be able to add a personal note versus just, hey, they made my day brighter by remembering me or something.
They made it generic.
Yeah.
It's too generic.
And so I was like, I want to. So who knows what they did? They said that he wrote it down. So Barbas,
when he sees you every time now, knows you.
Oh, yeah. He remembers us for sure. Mainly because of my son. But yeah. But he was like, he hugged all of us when we got there, when we left. Like, he's just like, he knows us by name at this point.
Yeah. How many bartenders do you know their first name in Disney? Just we two. Is it just Barbas and Chris, or
no? There's Mike at Baseline. He's really good.
I don't remember her name, but there's
I don't know what that says, but
there's the Asian lady at a bar at the pool at Coronado.
That yeah, you is love
one
that
of my
bar.
Favorites.
Okay, Danielle at Brown Derby Lounge is fantastic too. Yeah,
I gotta ask Jason this. Do you remember who it was that served you the night after the challenge? Do you still remember that person's name?
I don't remember her name. No.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah. Well, she's probably been a loyal podcast listener since that day, and we just lost her.
And you just, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make that happen. Do you remember what you had?
I remember she gave me an extra champagne.
Yeah, she gave me. That's right.
And then I also ordered some cocktails, and I remember ordering some food as well.
Yeah.
At some point. You don't remember what it was now.
No, I remember watching your live stream.
The guy I talked to last, I guess it was February or March. I think it was March is when I went at the Grandestino at Dahlia Lounge. I think his name was Daniel. He was.
Yeah, you said that. I remember that name. Yeah, I remember you saying that. Yeah, there's some really good ones, but I guess La Cava is the best team.
Did you order the Barbas?
I didn't this time, but he said the Corn Old Fashioned's his favorite cocktail on the menu.
You know, I was just thinking back. I was like, the only servers that I ever remember fairly well, at least anyway, were, you know, the ones you have on a cruise because they're with you for so long.
Right. But. Yeah.
So wait. So I'm going to go with my mom and my dad and my son. My mom and dad are not drinkers. Obviously, my son is 7, so he can't drink. Do I make him sit down at La Cava and just bear through it?
I mean, they'll have queso. You get the queso and the guac, and They actually do have soda and stuff because he always gives
just,
my kids.
I just tell my mom the tequila shots are non-alcoholic.
I was just about to say, do they offer mocktails?
I can't remember, but they always, and my kids always ask for like orange slices. So he's like, how many you want? And they were like, five. And he gave them five each. He just brought a plate over with orange slices on it. I'm like, don't you need these for the cocktails? But all right, well, thanks. And then they asked for more and he got them more. So I'm just like, all right, well, we'll tip them well. So of course,
but we'll pay for the oranges through the tip.
Yeah. But I mean, Bart, like, he remembers mainly because of my son. He has a 6 and a 4 year old. I probably shouldn't be telling all his business on here, but he, you know, well, that helps him remember.
Which son? You say his son? Which, do they remember them both or just one?
Well, Harrison. I mean, I think it our Who's kids. Memorable? Yeah, our youngest.
He is the one that he really remembers.
Is the one he really remembers. Gotcha. Yeah. So, yeah, that's really what helps us be memorable by the staff there.
Okay.
But every time, like, Nikki is the one of the hostess, I guess, the standing out front, whatever you want to call them, hosts, right? She saw us from across the room, front of house. She saw us from across the thing and was like, hey, like, she remembered us. And so we gave her, hopefully, and I'm hoping they got this, like, some extra recognition from the staff, the guest experience team. The guy wrote everything down I said, and he said, I'm going to hand this to somebody and they'll get like extra recognition. So I hope they did. But anyway,
let's hope so.
The only other thing we did was we stayed an extra night. So we paid for an extra night and then we got up and did Grand Floridian Cafe. We actually ate there, had a nice breakfast brunch at Grand Floridian Cafe. I don't know. I just like to say that. We found the restaurant and we ate there and then rode the monorail over and did the railroad one last time just because it was so much fun. It just happened to time it to where I think it was the 11 o'clock parade or 12 parade, whatever.
Which, did you do the whole loop?
We did the whole loop, yeah. Because we walked on a main street because everyone was watching the parade. We just walked right on the train. The train was sitting there. We just walked right on and then did the loop around. And yeah, we left. We came back home. That was the sad part, but. Yeah, we had a really good time. It was a lot of fun. I spent way too much money on Genie Plus, but it was worth it, I guess.
Did you calculate approximately?
Well, it was $123 a day for 4 days. So, like, wow. $500, basically. Wow. But, wow. I mean, we couldn't have done half of what we did without it. So, we would have just been standing in long lines all the time. I mean, there were people that were miserably...
And be like, what attraction do you want to do over here?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what it was. It's just like, yeah, I felt bad because a lot of people show up and they just have to wait in lines all day. It's like, I don't know.
I just feel like a time period like that when there's wall-to-wall people and there's long lines for every attraction just sounds like total misery, period. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's not my idea of fun.
Yeah. I don't know. But... The first 2 days when it was cold, if you were there, if you were braving the cold at night, Magic Kingdom Christmas night was not busy at all. After the fireworks, there was very little wait times. Really? I almost did Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, but I didn't want to wait 45 minutes to do that. But
it's like you almost hoped there was more people. Maybe the body heat would help.
Oh, I don't know. Not really. It was cold. That night was very cold.
At least you came prepared.
Yeah. So cool. Now it's Jason's turn to go back.
Yep.
And
have a birthday trip.
And hopefully we'll have a Tron preview soon. That's when I want to go back.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful that there's a January trip, of course, for me. I'm hopeful we'll get a Tron preview in February. I'm slated to have a day at Disneyland Paris in March.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So there's some times coming up.
We have a few upcoming things.
Q1 is packed right now with our Disney Disney trips. So we'll have lots of content coming up.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's going to wrap up this episode of Traveling with a Mouse. You can find us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can find your exclusive TWTM merchandise at shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. We have a YouTube channel. And where else can they find us, Adam?
On our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. We also have an email address, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And if you would like any assistance planning your next Disney trip, you can reach out to our travel agent friend. And her information is also on our website, travelingwiththemouse.com.
So, for Adam and Jason, this has been your host, John. And this has been Traveling with the Mouse. And we hope you will join us on our next trip. Which apparently is something going on quite frequently.
Next week.
John, do you think we're degenerates? That's what we really need to know.
Degenerates?
Yes.
I...